Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, okay, it's official now. Kyle Dubas is out as the general manager of Toronto. Now it's up to FSG and the Penguins to hire him to run the Penguins. He's the best choice available. He's the guy. So go get him. A lot of people disagree, but I think Dubas is the guy. That's my call. Hockey is trending toward what Dubas does. Analytics. He's Billy Beane. He's Theo Epstein. FSG needs to go get him. I hear people say, well, what's Dubas ever won? Hey, if he'd won something, he wouldn't be available. The Penguins are a lot closer to beggars than they are choosers. When I say he's the best available, the key word there is available. And now he is, and the Penguins need to hire Kyle Dubas. This is the Mark Madden Show. I'm on till 6. I'm emanating from the luxurious sportsbook at Rivers Casino, Pittsburgh. If you'd like to join the party, dial now, 412-333-WXDX, or you can do what the cool kids do and follow me on Twitter, at Mark Madden X. We got the PGA golf tournament on a bunch of TVs down here. Got a bunch of baseball. Got some soccer. Got it all going on. So join me, the super genius, Pittsburgh's number one sports media personality, live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook at from now till 6 p.m. That number again, 412-333-WXDX. I don't know Kyle Dubas. He's not my buddy. Anybody who's pushing for Wendell Young, the Chicago GM, the AHL, that's because he's their buddy. I'm looking at this from a straightforward, very pragmatic point of view, and he's the best guy. With Matthew Darche of Tampa, assuming he wants the job, probably number two. And I'm assuming Dubas wants the job. Don't forget he said at his press conference, if he wasn't Toronto GM this coming season, he would sit out a year. But he said that to the Toronto media to keep that conversation brief and friendly. Now he ain't there no more. Let's see what Kyle Dubas wants to do. In Steeler news, T.J. Watt fell into his pool. He's okay. Somehow that's news. The video is actually kind of funny. I'm surprised by how small Watt's pool is and the pool area. Maybe it's the camera angle, but the pool looks narrow and long. There does appear to be a hot tub. And like I said, T.J. Watt did not get hurt. Maybe this is a new, more durable T.J. Watt. For the Steelers' sake, they better hope so. We talked about Trubisky yesterday. He signed an extension. It dilutes his cap hit. It's a good move, but a small move. He was here. He's still here. And he's still the backup, and a good backup. The Steelers will probably take the cap space created via that Trubisky deal and by cutting Akello Witherspoon and use it to sign another mediocre inside linebacker, which is fine by me. Keep throwing crap at that wall. But for heck's sakes, the NFL is 4 months away, and it's 90% of what we talk about. And by we, I mean everybody else but me that does Pittsburgh Sports Talk Radio. Aren't you sick of it? Talking about a sport and a team that's 4 months away? Especially when the Steelers are just going to go 9-8 again. Football, 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 blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about movies or TV. Succession, HBO, down to the final two episodes. Or let's talk about the WNBA. I mean, really, let's not, but ESPN is doing this detailed preview of the WNBA on SportsCenter and the accompanying programming. Not because anyone cares, because nobody does, but because they feel obligated. The WNBA gets more time on SportsCenter than the Stanley Cup playoffs do. The NHL don't outdraw much, but it does outdraw the WNBA. I was going to do the whole show today like a bro show. So in that vein, we got Colby Armstrong at 3:30. Yeah! We got Danny Griffin of the Pittsburgh Riverhounds Soccer Club at 4:15. Let's go! Let me tell you, I've never been more content with the way I do things. I've been number one in Pittsburgh forever. Maybe I won't retire. I'm being serious now. Maybe I'll just want a lot more money. Or maybe I'll just drop over dead. Who knows? Did you watch that overtime game last night? Ford and Carolina. Four overtimes. I fell asleep twice during the overtime. Fell asleep, woke up, game still going. Fell asleep, woke up, Florida scores in overtime. Let's stick with the NHL playoffs. Like I said, last night was game one of the Eastern Conference Final. It took forever. Four overtimes before Florida won it. Tkachuk scored an overtime off a turnover by Carolina. That game was played at the Hurricanes' home rink. Both teams were very conservative in overtime. As a result, OT was awful. Each team waited for a mistake, and finally, Carolina made the mistake at like 2 in the morning. And that game going that long has great potential to ruin the rest of the series, because now both teams are exhausted. After one 20-minute overtime, maybe, I'm saying maybe, there won't be, but maybe there should be a shootout. It's not right. It's not good for the game and the series as a whole to let overtime last forever. Now, maybe in game 7 you do that, but last night I just wasn't impressed. Like I said, I literally fell asleep twice during overtime. Too long, not enough action. And kind of the anti-hockey, the way it's played in regulation and certainly during the regular season, in that, again, they were just playing defense and waiting for a mistake, dumping it in, etc. Whereas any other time, it's about, let's go get the next goal. Even if we don't need it, even if we're ahead. Penguins players and coaches, you know what I'm talking about. Tonight we got game one out west, Dallas at Vegas. To repeat my predictions for the conference finals in hockey, Carolina in 7, Dallas in 7. The coach of the Boston Celtics, Joe Mazzulla, he watches the movie The Town 4 times a week. That's impressive. I've only watched Cocaine Bear twice. I'd root for Boston and Mazzulla just for that, except I'm already invested in the fat, pasty foreigner. Talk of the devil, Jokic beat LeBron again last night. That's 2 games to none. Denver over the Lakers. Jokic with another triple-double, 23-17 and 12. That's just insane that he does that night after night. He's the best player in basketball. Now, speaking of Joe Mazzulla and his addiction to watching The Town, what movie do you watch over and over? For me, it's whatever movie's on a lot from day to day on cable. Lately, it's been Uncut Gems, that offbeat Sandler movie. Sandler's very good in it. He doesn't just play himself. I watched American Gangster for the millionth time the other day because it was on. That's how I roll. That basketball game last night, the white dude that made the half-court shot at the end of the game where L.A. eliminated Golden State, he had 23 points last night. That lanky, pasty guy. You know, guys look at him and say, what's this white dude doing? LeBron looked bad. Old and slow. He even missed the dunk, rubbed it out. Then again, I mean, that's why I fell asleep, I think, the rubbing out. And then somebody brought up on the Stephen A. show today, without Stephen A., so it was easier to watch, quieter anyway, that LeBron looked old and Kendrick Perkins act like somebody had kidnapped the Lindbergh baby all over again. How can you say he looks old? Well, he's old, that's how. And he's fading. You know, he ain't the LeBron he used to be. He's still pretty good for whatever he is, 38 years old LeBron, but he ain't that LeBron no more. Okay, Kyle Dubas, should they hire him? We got the Bucko Roundup up next. I wrote an article today that I'll talk about at the top of the hour about expectations for Kenny Pickett this season because Steelers, Kenny Pickett, yeah! 105.9 EX.
Edgar.
Okay, there's more news filtering out of Toronto in the wake of Kyle Dubas being, well, they said it was parting company, but he got fired. Brendan Shanahan, the club's president, says there was a shift in his thinking after watching Dubas' media conference last Monday. Prior to that, the two were working on an extension. Okay, I have no idea what Dubas said in that media conference that would have caused Shanahan to fire him as opposed to extending him that caused Toronto to do a 180. But that's the Maple Leafs. They're supposed to win every year. They haven't won since 1967, and that creates a weird dynamic. If you ask me what I think happened, Shanahan wants to run the team himself. He wants the old gritty guys because we're going to win the old Maple Leafs way, like when we had Dave Keon and Tim Horton and George Armstrong. But that ain't going to work. Nothing at Toronto's going to work. They're just never going to win. McDavid's never going to win at Edmonton either. Some things have gotten past a certain point where you're going to reverse them and do the opposite. McDavid might, but Toronto, they're not close to winning, as they showed, despite having a team that should do better than it did. But F all that, because it's time for the Bucko Roundup. The Pirates were off yesterday and resume play tonight. First game of three against Arizona at PNC Park. First game of a six-game homestand. The Diamondbacks are 25-19, so they're not a bad team. The Pirates are 23-20. Gallen pitches for Arizona. I bet that'll be a big gulp. Get it? Oviedo pitches for the Pirates. The Pirates' pitching has been okay. Somebody's bat needs to catch fire. And Reynolds and Hayes, I'm talking to you. You got to do more because they got paid, yo. And nobody still told me what exactly would be the point of calling up Rodriguez and Davis as the clamor continues. The Pirates are just one game out of first place in the NL Central. That is a weak-ass division. That might help or give the impression of that possibility. And that is the Bucko Roundup for Friday. We talked yesterday, me and Tim Benz, about the seven football teams breaking away from the ACC. And are they going to form a new league, or could the Big East get back together, or do they want to join the SEC? And the answer is no, no, and yes, because everybody wants to join the SEC or the Big Ten. But forget about a new conference. Forget about a reformed Big East. Moving forward in big-time college football, there's going to be less conferences, not more. We're going to drop from a Power 5 to a Power 2, and then maybe a minor league or two. The angle for any football school from here on out is going to be to join the SEC or the Big Ten. That is decidedly the angle from here on out. What else could I yell to do a bro show? I got, yeah! I got, let's go! And I got, how about, come on! I am going to do a whole show, or maybe an hour, as a bro show one of these days. I was talking earlier about watching the same movie over and over again. You know what's a good movie, and it's been on cable a lot the last couple of days? Underrated? Hoffa. Jack Nicholson is Jimmy Hoffa. Yesterday, I was switching back and forth between Hoffa and Fargo before the hockey game came on. And I enjoyed Hoffa and Fargo far more than I did the hockey game. A four overtime hockey game isn't a good game. Okay? You know what that means? That means it was 0-0 for 90 minutes plus in the overtime. That's what it means. Speaking of movies, I'm going to Johnstown Tuesday to see Foreigner and to find out what's the story on that dog. Let's go real quick to our good friend, the Hebrew Hammer. Hammer, yuck shamash.
Yuck shamash, Mark. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey. The minor league concept when it comes to college football, the way I see it would be actually pretty cool. Say, like, for the Steelers, for example, like Penn State would be their affiliate. And that's how they'd get their players. Wouldn't that be an interesting, like, concept?
Yeah. I mean, but that's not going to happen, you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows really what could happen in the future. But, like, again, like, say Ohio State would be, like, the Browns affiliate and so forth and so on. And I mean,
okay,
I don't know.
Who knows where it goes?
And
what would Ohio State benefit from that?
Well, they'd get money, of course.
Yeah, they can get more money. They can get more money doing it this way. This comes under the heading of one of your bad ideas.
Well, I thought it was an idea, and
I don't mean to berate you, but that's your cue.
I won't be berated. Yuck, too much.
Whammy. All right, up next, Colby Armstrong. Come on, 105.9 and or director hockey ops joining me now to discuss X of the Penguins. He's everywhere in the hockey media. He is Colby Armstrong. Army, were you surprised the Leafs let Dubas go? And is he the guy the Penguins should go after?
I think I was a little bit surprised just seeing as some of the news out of there was kind of, you know, hinting towards him remaining with the Leafs in the last few days. I think that's kind of was the word was. So, needless to say, today was kind of surprising that, you know, it turned that direction. I was actually just listening to Brendan Shanahan, prior to doing this, I think he's still going or just finishing up on his press conference and describing kind of the situation that happened with Dubas and, you know, walk through the entire contract discussions with him and you know, even starting from the start of the year and how they were going to play out the year and see what happens and, you know, got into further detail to the point where I think it was just Shanahan made a decision that they're going to go another direction. So, you know, that was pretty interesting, I think, in hearing that. You know, they're going to go look at a different path, obviously with lots of things on their plate, right? Nylander, Matthews, the draft, you know, significant contracts with significant players in their organization. So do I think the Penguins will go after him? I'm sure they'll interview him now that he's available. Yes, I think, you know, you'd be crazy not to interview as many candidates as you can before you narrow it down.
But Army, he's the guy. I mean, for me, maybe I'm insane. But I look at the people who are available, and that's a key word, available, and I don't see anybody comparable except maybe Darch from Tampa Bay, if indeed he wants the job.
Well, I'd be interested to know more of the candidates. Of course, you know, we'll never know, but or maybe we will one day. But as of right now, like, look, I can only look at what Dubas has done, and can I say that it would be good or he'd be the best? And you could say best available and, you know, okay, but is that like a kind of a mail-in a little bit and just settling for that, maybe.
Well,
but,
I mean, you can't hire who's not available. I mean, Stan Bowman's the best available, but he ain't going to get a job nowhere.
Yeah, I think there's some other guys around the league that may be of interest. And I'm not sure if they've talked to other guys or where it's going. We only know some of the names that have bounced around. But I think looking at Dubas and looking what he's done, there's no question he's, you know, signed players. There's contract situations where, you know, I think the players have completely, you know, dominated in some of the negotiations in getting, you know, the money they want. That's great, hey? Get the players paid. I love it. But also, I think you look at his situation with building these teams and building the kinds of teams that he wanted to do and had the keys to the, you know, the Bugatti for 5 years with, you know, virtually unlimited options of things that he could use at his disposal with
oh, yeah,
big
great resources, more than any team in the league, to be sure.
Yeah, crazy amounts of ability to, you know, touch into anything else. And he built this team. He tinkered with it. Can I say that I like the moves? I've said this before. He did a great job this year. I think he acquired really good players. Now, does it fall on Keith with the way that they played? Does it fall on him with his idea of how he's going to build this team and the personnel that he acquired and then tried to sprinkle on the side? And who does that fall under? Because if I want to look at him and I want to look at his track record and I want to look at what he was able to do, build a fancy team, build a good hockey team, but a team that's unable to win in the playoffs, is that his idea? Was that just his idea then? What's it going to look like going forward with him? But the track record for me, I look at it and I go, where's the proof in the pudding?
Well, yeah, but we're going to say that, Army, about whoever the Penguins hire. I really believe that. And we said it about Hextall, that's for sure. And unfortunately, look what happened. But I believe that Dubas' vision was compromised by Shanahan. I think there were a bunch of old-school moves made, like signing washed-up Wayne Simmonds for grit that had Shanahan's fingerprints all over them. And if any move damaged Toronto more than any other, it was signing Tavares. That's a killer contract.
Yeah.
He's a slightly above-average player, and that wasn't Dubas.
Yeah, was that Lou that brought him in the early
right.
times? And then he came in over Lou eventually with Shanahan to push this plan in place and with the players that they have and acquiring and signing other players and trying to sprinkle, I think, yes, some toughness around a team and a system of playing that I don't think is easy or good for those kinds of players to play under. So there's no question. I think there was, you know, pushing and pulling to find the right recipe. I just don't think the recipe was any good to do anything in the playoffs. I work up in Toronto, Mark, for the last 7 years, and I've talked about the same thing come this time of the season with this team and through the season and watching them play, and are they going to be different? And I can easily say this year, too, with even the moves that they made, they got dominated by Tampa Bay. Dominated. Did they win? Yes, you want to win. They got by the first round. Florida came in, bullied, dominated them again, and crushed them out of the playoffs with a brand and style of hockey that we see all four teams right now in the playoffs. And maybe it's just a one-off, maybe it's just this year, but they've had several kicks at the can. They've ran it back last year to this year, and they're unable to accomplish, I think, what they should have accomplished with, you know, the players and the assets and the skill and the quality of player that they have through their lineup. So there's a flawed idea, I think, in the building of the team. There's a flawed idea in the way that they played as well, that they can't play meaningful games the right time of the year.
Well, if any team knows about flawed concepts, it'd be coming to the right place. So we'll see how it plays. We'll see how it plays out.
It'll be interesting, though. I think it's interesting too for the Penguins, right? As they're trying to lock down all these guys. Boom! There's another among a couple others where there's a GM position open. I know Calgary and now Toronto and now Pittsburgh. So the competition heats up now, and I wonder what that looks like, moving forward here on the Penguins search as well.
We're talking to Colby Armstrong here on the X. Army, who won the game last night? I fell asleep. My God.
Oh, yeah, I know. Tell me about it. I got off the ice at Bugsy's charity game, and it was 2-1. It was 2-1. By the time I got out of the dressing room, showered up, and upstairs into the lounge, it was 2-2, just heading into overtime. And by the time I left the lounge, the game was still going on. By the time I got home, I was able to watch the part of the third and the fourth overtime period sitting on my couch at home into the wee hours of the night as well. So just a never-ending game. I knew it would be tight. I knew it would be close. I have to say I picked Carolina to win in seven.
I questioned
myself now on my decision a little bit after watching. I don't think Carolina was very good, Mark. They weren't super clean. They weren't sharp as I'm used to seeing them. Well, I think they'll be better next game, of course, but I got to hand it to Florida. I mean, they are aggressive, they're fast, they're relentless, their D are all over the ice. I mean, Mark Stahl's all over the ice, never mind on top of Montour and Ekblad and even Gudas, and they're physical, they're nasty, and they're tough. Like, Carolina could barely get anything on the inside. They were saved by a couple bad penalty calls that they were able to take advantage of, but I got to give it to Florida, man. They look really, really good.
Should playoff overtime ever go to a shootout? Like after one overtime, two overtimes, whatever? Because now Florida and Carolina are exhausted for the rest of the series. It's going to have a negative effect moving forward.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you were around some of these in the past, Mark. You saw guys down underneath. I think you have a story of talking to Yager or something in between one of the
the five overtime game against Philadelphia. Casper brought me pizza.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that's great. I remember my mom waking me up for the Olympics one time because Canada was playing in a shootout, and I forget where it was, and it might have been maybe the Pasek beating Canada in for the gold medal in the shootout. And I mean, as exciting as that was to watch that as a kid and see all my heroes playing, and obviously we lost, but I love that it just, you go until it's done. I love that. I love the way we do it. I think it's the best. I think it's exciting. I love the attrition of it. I love the battle of the playoffs, and that's why our trophy's the best in any pro sport. And that's why the setup is you have to be a warrior. You have to battle. You have to fight. And I love that, you know, these guys played, you know, four overtime periods, and they were 12 seconds away from going to the fifth. Unbelievable in game one of the conference finals.
And a mistake made that late in an overtime period.
Yep.
And that's my one complaint, Army. I 90% agree with what you're saying. But after a while last night, that game just settled into get it in deep and try to make them make a mistake. It wasn't very daring after a certain point. And I'll be honest, it got boring after a while.
Well, let me draw back to when I scored a triple overtime winning goal in Wilkes-Barre against Binghamton Senators to get us back in the series and going. One of the, you know, nicer goals I've had.
Not into it.
Yeah, it was awesome. But we were in the third overtime, and I'm telling you, it gets to that point a little bit with the style of play where it's just, you know, because I think both teams end up going into survival mode a little bit. And, you know, the clock's winding down. You're on for that last shift. You just got to get it to the period. And Brent Burns and Jacob Slavin, two of their more reliable, you know, defensemen, you know, make sloppy little mistakes along the boards on a clear. And next thing you know, it's on, you know, one of their more clutch player sticks, and it's to the back of the net with a tremendous shot. I think when it gets to that, I totally agree with you. I think it does get to a point where it becomes a little bit like, oh my God, get this over with, even as a fan, just because I think both teams end up being in like a little bit of survival mode and are just trying to get through the game.
Well, never mind that. Let's talk about you being the triple overtime hero for Wilkes. Was your wife in attendance?
No, she wasn't.
She wasn't in the picture yet. My God. One. God knows what
she wasn't in the picture yet. She was shortly in the picture. I did meet her on that playoff run as we stormed our way to the Calder Cup.
Well, no wonder. After scoring in triple overtime, every woman wants to meet that guy. Now, was that the longest overtime you ever played in?
Yeah, it was. It was the longest. I scored also a double overtime goal in junior on our way to the Memorial Cup Championship. So I've been put in some couple of situations and been pretty lucky to score some big goals. However, none as big as that goal by Tkachuk last night in quadruple overtime. Pretty amazing. I imagine that felt pretty good. He was trying to do the walk-off, eh? He's trying to do the walk-off.
And they got in his way.
Yeah.
You know who's amazing for Florida is Verhaeghe. I wasn't even sure how to pronounce his name till a couple days ago, and I was shocked. I mean, I knew he had a good year. He had 42 goals, and he is just everywhere in the playoffs. If it ain't Tkachuk, he's their guy.
Yeah, he's a sniper. He's a shooter, and he gets a chance. He buries. He's just got a really great shot, and he's on a line with Barkov and Duclair too, and they stepped up big time last game. And I think Barkov, you know, as good as he is, has been criticized for not, you know, using his size and physicality enough with, you know, his frame. He's a huge guy. I thought he was super physical last night. I think Duclair, since coming back, has been really dangerous with his speed and playmaking. And obviously Verhaeghe can bury it if given the chance. So you're right. They're a dangerous line. I think Verhaeghe is kind of an X factor there just because of his finishing ability with those guys. And they got the job done last night. I mean, they kept them in. They scored a couple goals. Their line was a big part of the, you know, the 2-2 tie to get them there, and Tkachuk did the rest. But they've got some weapons through this. I mean, they're more than just like a tenacious forechecking team. They've got guys that can produce and score. I thought the goaltending was pretty incredible for the most part last night. It was just like, you know, both guys out of their minds, and you know, kind of scary to see. And kind of sad almost in a way too to see like Bobrovsky, who's been, you know, had troubles through his career getting past big moments and playoffs and the Penguins, being in Columbus for so many years. And, you know, he was not the starter for a significant amount of time to even get the Florida Panthers in the playoffs and not start in the playoffs, making $10 million a year. So To see him the way he's looking is pretty scary because he's all over it right now. But both goalies last night were so good.
Who do you like in Dallas and Vegas? We got game one for the West tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm in my head now, Mark. I got it wrong last night. I thought
I'm still no. Don't back down. I'm still going Carolina in seven. I got Dallas in seven too.
I'll stay with it. Okay, I'm the opposite of you. I picked Golden Knights in six.
Wow.
And I did it because I just think they're bigger, nastier, and deeper. And I mean, it's crazy to go against Ottinger just because of how good he is. I know he showed some, you know, lapses and weakness last series. Seattle was able to get through to him a little bit, but I don't know. I've liked Vegas ever since they came in the league when they stormed to the final. They didn't make the playoffs last year. I that was disappointing. I think it's fueling them right now. You know, you look at Stone and Eichel and what they've been able to do production wise. They've been really, really good. But they just play a style of hockey. I think we're gonna get really, honestly, two great conference final series. I think they're gonna go. You said seven and seven, right? In both series, East West.
Yep.
I think that's probably, honestly, the majority of anyone you'll ask. I think they'll. So I'm out of the majority a little bit with Vegas and six, but that's how much I like them.
Well, here's one way I could see it swinging to Vegas. I'm picking Dallas because you mentioned Ottinger. I mean, Vegas has, mm-hmm. you know, five goalies, and they're all journeymen, you know, except for Quick, who's, you know, 90 years old. So I can't see Vegas's group of bummy goaltenders beating Ottinger. But conversely, Eichel's heating up, and Robertson just can't get going. So if you're talking about the best guy on each team, that favors Vegas.
Yeah, and where's the star power going to land right now, and who can get it going? Can Robertson get going? Because he was a little bit quiet second half of the season, and you know, now we see where he's got two goals right now in the playoffs, and not like he hasn't had his chances. He's had chances. He just hasn't been able to score right now. But the way Eichel has arrived, you know, and it's taken him a while to get to the playoffs, and you know, this is his first shot at it, and being in there. But I mean, he's playing at another level right now for them, and Stone coming back. So what's their salary cap at, right? Like, they did the whole, you know, circumvent the salary cap with injuries and LTIR and getting Stone off of surgery, and you know, he's come back and made massive impact right away as well. But Eichel's the guy. I mean, I think when you look at, if it's all said and done and I get my way and Vegas gets through and Eichel has a series that he's but likely to have with the way he's been playing right now, he's probably going to be the Conn Smythe guy.
Well, here's my Eichel thing, too. He didn't talk it up, but I think him beating McDavid after they both got drafted 1-2 in 2015, I think Eichel beating McDavid in the second round and him playing really well, Eichel, I think that has adrenalized him big time. Like I said, he won't admit that, but I think that's true, don't you?
Yeah, I do too. I think guys that are like that and guys from the same draft year, I know I did it when I looked at my draft year, never mind being in the spotlight of a 1-2 pick and, you know, being drafted in a class that, you know, had a player like McDavid, but I think that drives guys. I think you look at them across the way from you, you look at their seasons they're having continuously, you know, you look at different things. So it ramps it up when you're dealing with those kind of players, those difference maker guys to, you know, do that. How often have we seen that dueling hat tricks and OV Sid and playoff matchups? And I think it brings out the best in them. And I got to give Eichel a ton of credit because I've criticized his game a lot, you know, to being, you know, not totally involved, not always, you know, there. And to see him shut down that elimination game, you know, shutting down in the defensive zone with his defensive play, staying with McDavid with his legs and his feet, and throwing him down to the ice in the dying minutes of the game, down behind the net in a battle situation. Like, it's just on another level for him right now. And he's like, it's like he's possessed as a playoff guy now. It's just like he's got that feeling and that flavor and that opportunity to be that guy, and man, has he embraced it. So yeah, he's a big dog. He's a big dog right now, and he's on the hunt.
Army, great stuff as always. I want more overtime games now so we can talk more about your overtime heroics next week.
I don't have any. I wasted all my dang stories right now. I got to give a shout out to Ryan Malone's event last night. It was awesome.
I couldn't go because of the thing on 79. How'd you get through that?
Yeah, I had to go all the way around up through Robinson, back through some farm roads, and cut all the way back down. So it was a journey to get up there. The Warriors were awesome. It was great spending time with them. Just truly inspirational people and the program that they're doing. And Bugsy, that guy, I love that guy. And the Malone Family Foundation, got the biggest heart ever. And
no
just
doubt.
What he does to give back and how hockey's healing. And it's just a great message. It was an inspiring night. I met some really great people. So I had a great time. Too bad you couldn't make it, but we ended up losing in a shootout. But congrats to Bugsy and his family.
You fixed it. You worked it, just like the deck hockey thing. Is Bugsy going to do the deck hockey thing again? Because you and I, we got to team up for that one.
Oh, I'd love to see that. I've only seen, like, archaic home video of you playing deck hockey.
No, I'm not talking about me playing. I'm 62, and I have a heart condition. I'm talking about me bringing in ringers.
Yeah, we need the ringers. You have all the connection to the ringers. If I'm playing in that again, I'm definitely going to conspire with you to do something like that because I hate running, and I just want to play with ringers. That's all I want.
I got runners. I got ringers. We'll win it all, Army. Good stuff. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, have a great weekend, brother. Talk to you.
That's Colby Armstrong. Great stuff from him always. Brought to us by Three Rivers Lending. Call Three Rivers Lending today for a free mortgage quote. And by Easy Home Exteriors, fair, honest pricing the first time, every time. Some sad news. Maybe the greatest football player ever has just passed away. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break here on 105.9.
Ready to take your career to the next level? 84 Lumber is now hiring for a number of opportunities in the Pittsburgh area. Kickstart your career in a fast-paced industry that...
Yes, Mark Madden.
Yeah, Mark. What is up, buddy?
Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mr. Madden. How you doing?
What if they wore assless chaps? Would that help at all?
If they what?
VX at 105.9.
The best football player ever passed away today. Jim Brown, Cleveland Browns. Total badass. Played only 9 years, but let me tell you why he was the best football player ever. Three-time MVP. Nine-time All-Pro, including eight times first team. In other words, he made All-Pro every single year he played. When he retired, he was the all-time rushing leader. He was the single-season rushing champion eight times. He made every all-time team you could. He averaged 5.2 yards per carry on his career. 5.2 yards per carry. If you like, go to YouTube. But there's nothing to conclude other than Jim Brown was the best football player ever. He beat you up. I mean, you tackled him, but you paid a price. And by the third or fourth quarter, heck, by the second quarter, you're like, oh, my God, I got to keep tackling this guy. He was also great at lacrosse. He was known for playing that sport at Syracuse University. And the reason he only played 9 years was because he went to movies. And he could make more money in movies. That's how little football played them, even to a, you know, all-time great player like Jim Brown. But he was great in the Dirty Dozen, Ice Station Zebra, Three the Hard Way. More recently, he played Fireball in the Schwarzenegger flick, The Running Man. He was a comedy duo along with Isaac Hayes in the movie I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, a straight comedy. Now, if you want other things to admire Jim Brown for, he was very socially active, did a lot for his people, African-Americans, and he nailed, among others, Raquel Welch. So Jim Brown passed away today. Now, I know a lot of people are to call up and talk about allegations of domestic abuse. Call another show and do that. Today's not the day to do that. If you want to talk about Jim Brown today, talk about him as the greatest football player of all time, which he is. Or if you want to talk about Jim Brown's domestic abuse, good. We'll talk about James Harrison's, too. Because you've managed to never talk about that, have you? No Quarter is brought to us by Always Safe Flagging and Traffic Control. Now hiring with benefits and 401k. For info or to apply, visit awsafe.net. So Jim Brown passed away today, the greatest football player ever. And I don't know how anybody could argue that. It was a different era, it was a different method, but he mastered that method. He was a better running back than Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback. Can tell you that for sure. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Speaking of quarterbacks, just around the corner, we're going to talk about my expectations for Kenny Pickett. Come on! For the upcoming season. It's the Bro Show here on 105.9 The X.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.